Good morning, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it.
Welcome to church. I'm Donna Schuler. This is Robert Schuler, and we're part of what we do with the Robert Schuler Ministries, a church with no walls. This is our 8 a.m. Pacific time Sunday service coming to you every Sunday, no matter where we are in the world.
We've been doing this for a long time. And I've been preaching on Sunday morning since the early 80s, probably 81.
Before I met you.
I started, and I've been preaching almost every Sunday ever since. And so it gives me a joy, and it's my privilege to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. And we have people from Uganda who watch regularly. We have people from Canada who watch regularly.
You're going to get yourself in trouble.
Yeah. Where do I stop listing the countries?
You're right. Lots of different continents, lots of different countries, people from the Philippines, people from,
from the Philippines,
all over Europe. And we love our friends and our friendships with all of you. Some of them are long lasting, some of them are new friends. So, you know, you come here to hear about Jesus, of course, to learn biblical truths. And how does that apply to what's going on in the world today, not just the USA, but how does that apply to what's going on with some of our freedoms as individuals and as nations being threatened today by this large consortium of people and they, if you will. And so I think you bring a very fresh perspective to what the Bible says about freedom and obviously what our U.S. Constitution says about our inalienable rights as human beings, all created equal, and we do have rights. So we talk about that, again, from a biblical perspective and always keeping Jesus at the center of everything we do.
So let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can join together in prayer. You are our God and we are your people. So we come before you, O Lord, and we pray for our nation. We pray that you will give us the strength and the ability to be able to face the challenges that we face, to be able to come. Come out with our eyes focused on you. You will forgive our sins. So we ask for forgiveness right now, O Lord, because we need your grace. We need your love. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. Don't we always need his grace and his forgiveness?
Yeah.
And I want to point out, too, that we continue to pray for friends and family in Florida, you know, mid-Florida, mid-state up by the panhandle in the Gulf of Mexico region, got hit pretty hard as a hurricane, not as bad as the last one, but my gosh, I feel like sometimes people just build back to be flooded again, to be ravaged by the heavy, heavy winds. I believe it hit the land as a category 2. There's sometimes people say 1, some say 2, but the point is it caused flooding from the rains
and the
damage
high tides.
And the high tides, and it happened right at a full moon. So we haven't talked to our friends that support our ministry that are also very good friends, but, you know, Florida is a big state for us, always has been, you know, and we also have kids that live there now, but they live way south by Miami. They weren't affected, but we pray for our friends, and then we continue to pray for the people in Maui. Robert has a sister that lives in Maui. Her kids all live there, and although they weren't affected as far as losing any property goes, they were affected because 2 of them are firefighters and they just have, you know, horror stories coming out of there. And we just continue to keep these people in our nation in prayer. And of course, there's things going on all over the world that we know about, some of them we don't. So God is infinite power and wisdom, you know, knows all these things. So we continue to be very mindful of the fact that we're privileged people sitting here in Orange County, California, with a rather cloudy day, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. So shall I give our little report on what's happening this week or what's been happening in society and culture?
Sure.
A week ago yesterday, this took place, and it should be coming up here. Yep, there it is. And if you read along the top there, it says August 26, 2023. Hmm. And if you can't figure out what that is actually a satellite, a rocket taking off for space to launch another satellite.
Wow. Wow.
And what satellite was it? Let's see if I can put it up there. There you go. It's SpaceX launches its 5,000th Starlink satellite toward orbit. And that took place a week ago yesterday. And so what is the future of Starlink? And here's the future. 5,000 Starlink satellites is a lot, to be sure, but the number is likely to grow far into the future. SpaceX has permission to deploy 12,000 Starlink spacecraft in LEO, which is lower Earth orbit.
Yeah.
And it has applied for permission for about 30,000 more on top of that.
Wow.
I just can't believe how crowded it must feel up in space.
Well, I saw a picture. You know, we used to go down, I'm sure a lot of you have done this, in a dark, dark, dark sky while you're camping or you're out in the middle of the ocean. You can see satellites going around. And this gives a whole new meaning to satellite watching because I'm sure it's like zoom, zoom, zoom. We used to have to wait and go, there's one. 10 minutes later, somebody else would see another one.
Well, it's more difficult to see some of these because they're not very big. They look kind of like this. And so they're not real big.
Well, you can't tell how big that is. But it's
true. But it's on the head of that rocket. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to determine. But that's where our technology is going, is all satellite technology and those. And these latest satellites are beaming down 5G technology. So the technology isn't just on poles and everywhere. They're coming from space. And the goal, in fact, there's been a partnership with, let me see if this is it, there we go. No, that's the 5 South. No, I did that already. But anyhow, there's Elon Musk has developed a partnership. Now we want to hide that. Thank you. Has developed a partnership with T-Mobile to have worldwide 5G network everywhere you go.
Wow.
So that's where the technology is heading. And I'll be saying more about this in my message and tying it in with how this is relevant for us today, because I love technology, especially when it works. We use technology all the time. I use my 5G, and when it's not working, I'm disappointed. And in spite of the fact that they may be using it to track every move I make, they may be using it to enhance business. They may be using it for future control, like they do in China. In China, they use it to control the masses. And if you get out of line in China, you can't do a thing. They have complete control of your banking, of your technology, of your movements. Mm-hmm. And
your freedom,
you absolutely
have complete control of your freedom.
And if you get blackballed in China, your life is going to be extremely painful. So if you say something bad about the Communist Party or about the country of China, you start getting these black marks, and you get two or three of them, and you're on this blacklist, and it's bad. And so this technology actually allows for that kind of control if it's used that way. But like anything, in the hands of good people, in the hands of a republic and a democracy, it can be used in a beautiful, wonderful way. So we just have to focus on that and make sure that these tools which have been given to us, which are being developed, are used in a positive, constructive way. And that's true with all animate objects. And so all animate objects are wonderful and good in the hands of good people and can be very bad in the hands of bad people. So we just need to make sure that we have the right kind of governance to manage all of this kind of technology so that it enhances human flourishing instead of using it to restrict, to enslave. Because God's
it's a big charge commandment,
oh, it sure is. God's commandment to humanity and to us is to seek freedom, to seek his will, and to follow his instructions. So as a result of that, we'll be able to manage our expectations.
Speaking of instructions, should I read yes. his instruction book?
Yes,
here?
why don't you read from our text today? And
I am. Our text today is from the Old Testament, the book of Numbers. Numbers 20, verses 1 through 13. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh, where Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines, or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. And he and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and he struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." There were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and where he was proved holy among them. It says these were the waters of Meribah, not there, but these were the waters of Meribah. So where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and where he was proved holy among them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. You provide us with signs and wonders every single day. Help open our eyes and give us faith to believe, even when things around us are chaotic, even when things around us are painful, confusing, when we don't understand. Help us to hold on to our faith. Help us to remember that faith conquers fear every single time. So may we push faith way back in our mind, way far, far away from us. May we cover it with a blanket of faith. And may we always be faithful to you, Lord, in believing and trusting in your plans. If you tell us to do something, Lord, if we know it's from you, may we do it. And may we always be grateful people and say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you provide every single day. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So one of the things we do every Sunday morning is we collect an offering. And one of the reasons we collect an offering is for you. That may sound funny, but we literally do this so that you have the opportunity to give. And it's important for you to give. It shows your faithfulness to God. It shows that you trust in him. And in the process, it helps you manage your money. It helps you manage your expectations. It helps you become a better person. And so it's really important that you learn to give. And the Bible instructs us to give 10% of our income. And that's the goal. It's not the commandment. It is the goal. And because the good news about giving 10% is that it doesn't limit you to 10%. And I know people who give 50% of their income away and more. John Crean, who was one of the larger supporters of our ministry when he was alive, was giving about 90% of his income away. He felt because he believed in the power of giving and the joy that it produced. And I remember going to at his memorial service. We were at his memorial service, and they started reading off all the institutions that he supported. And it went on. I think there was at least 100 institutions, different charities and churches that he had supported throughout his life. And it was absolutely amazing to hear that read off at his funeral. But that's the joy of giving. And there was a time he had absolutely nothing and less than nothing. And that's the way God's blessings work. As we learn to give, the Bible tells us with what measure you give shall be used to give back to you. And so it doesn't mean you immediately jump in and start giving everything away so you have no place to live. It means you manage that. And as you are blessed with what God has given you, you learn to give a little bit more. And as a result of that, the blessings start to flow. Spiritually, it's the blessings first start internally with the way we see life and the way we see money and the way we handle money. And then it continues in tangible ways as well. So if you want to support this ministry, Donna will go through and tell you the different ways you can do that.
Absolutely. You can. First of all, we want to encourage you, if you're not watching on drschuller.org this morning, that's drschuller.org. I have to spell it out because it closed caption. If you're not watching that way, please start watching that way. Social media is not a good way to find us anymore. They shadow ban us. They only show it to a tiny fraction of our listeners, of our members, of our followers, whatever you want to call them on social media. People like you that want to get this message, they can't get it because they're not showing it to them. So please watch on our website. While you're there, you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll see our address. If you'd like to mail us a check and give that way, our address is Robert Schuller Ministries, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Again, you have to go to our website, drschuller.org. And you're going to want to do that anyway, because there's all kinds of things to look at. There's lots of videos on there. There's lots of blogs, which are basically articles we've written over the year. They're all categorized depending on what you need for that day. Maybe you're dealing with anxiety. Maybe you're dealing with a divorce. I don't know what you're doing, a health problem. But we have articles, blogs we've written over the last several years. And they're things that'll help you and get you through a rough time. So back to giving. Another way to give is you can go to the top of that homepage, drschuller.org. Again, it's drschuller.org. On the right-hand side, there's a little button that says, I'd like to give. And you click on that. And if you've never given that way before, it'll take you maybe a minute and a half to sign in. If you're used to doing that on our site, it'll take you 20 seconds. So it's an easy, secure way to give. And last but not least, Venmo. We have a Venmo account, and it's Robert Schuller Ministries. And, you know, as you were talking, I thought about it. Some people don't understand just giving to give. So if you're giving to a charity dinner, let's say, and the price of the dinner, you know, you see on there only deductible under what's required or what's allowed by law. So if you're going to a charity dinner, you can't take the dinner off. So here's where I'm getting with this. If you want something tangible, I have a perfect idea. Go on Amazon, get my new book, Fearless Women by Donna Schuller. Just go into your search bar on Google. Just put in Fearless Women book by Donna Schuller, and you have something tangible. So you'll get a book, but you're also giving to our ministry, because 100% of that money, a little bit goes to Amazon, of course, but 100% goes right into our, oh, thank you, Robert, right into our account, our ministry account. We use that to do good. So if you need something tangible, do that. And I'll appreciate it. Robert will appreciate it. A lot of people will appreciate it, because we use the proceeds to do more.
And after you read it, you can give it away to somebody else who you think exactly may need it. So you're giving and giving again. And then it'll make you a stronger, healthier person as you develop your courage and your tenacity.
Fearlessness.
And your fearlessness. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, you will give more in that regard as well. So life is about giving, and we enter this world with nothing, and we leave this world with nothing. And we manage everything that we have always, as far in that includes our time, our resources, everything we have, we manage it all. And so this morning I'm going to be talking about managing your expectations. So
that's good. Sometimes we get disappointed because our expectations are something that we can't acquire, and sometimes we don't put them up high enough, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I'm gonna let you alone. So, I'm gonna go out and walk the dog, and anyway, good to see all of you. If you live close, come to our service at the Newport Beach Civic Center in the community room at 10 a.m. Pacific in Newport Beach. It's easy to find, 100 Civic Center Drive. It's all on our website. We'd love to see you, even if you just are visiting in Southern California. So talk to you soon.
Okay, here's a question. Have you ever purchased a piece of furniture from IKEA, or have you ever put together a one of those Lego toys? If you've done either of those things, what you know is that you have to follow the instructions very carefully. You can't skip over one of them, and you might think you can put this together, this piece of furniture together, or this Lego together without following the instructions. And you start, and I inevitably, every time I've tried either one of those with Legos or a piece of IKEA furniture, I pay dearly. I'll end up taking it all apart and often losing pieces in the process or damaging it, trying to take it apart. And then I have to go and get more pieces or spare parts or something like that. Where, on the other hand, if I follow the directions, one, did that first, two, and then that one, and then three, I would have, and every time I do that, the piece of Legos comes out great, and I only do that with my grandkids. I think the first time I did it was with my youngest son. Legos first started coming out then, and that's the first time I think I ever put together a piece of Legos. Now I do it with my grandson, and he's an expert. He's got all these great big things of Legos, and I try to avoid buying IKEA furniture, but every once in a while I'll end up doing it, and I have to go through this arduous process of putting these pieces together, and you have to be very careful when you put them together to follow the instructions. Why do I bring this up? Why is this important to us today? Today, what we're looking at is a passage of scripture in Numbers 20. Just to give you an idea of where Numbers is, the Bible is a list of 66 books. It's basically a library of 66 books. Most of them, most of the pages, most of the words are from the Old Testament. And the Old Testament begins with Genesis, which means beginning. How did life begin? How did God's relationship with people begin? Then you have Exodus. How did God's desire for people is to take them out of slavery? There you get the word Exodus, and give them freedom. Then you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, which is the laws of God. Numbers, he wants to know exactly who you are. He knows exactly how many people this earth can handle. He knows exactly what's going on. Numbers and Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the five books of law. That's how the Old Testament opens up and how it begins. Well, today we're looking at a passage in Numbers, and Numbers is one of those books I don't like to read. Most of them is so-and-so begat so-and-so, and their genealogies, and there's lots of different things in there. But today we're looking at one specific passage of scripture in Numbers, Genesis 20. And in there, this is actually the 40th year that Moses and the Israelites are in the wilderness. As you know, or as I've told you before, or as I'm telling you right now, Moses led the people out of Egypt, And they took everything that their masters had taken from them, and they pillaged them, and they took the livestock, and they took the gold and their silver, and they left Egypt. When they left Egypt, they went into the wilderness. In the very first year, we read in Exodus 17, Moses doing almost exactly the same thing by striking a rock with his staff as they do here. This passage in Numbers is year number 40. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. Here are 2 million people, and they spend 40 years in the wilderness, and this is the last year. And as a result of that, it opens up with Miriam, who is Moses' sister, this one who saved, really, it's his older sister. She's really saved him. She watched the Moses' basket float down the Nile River, and then she went and talked to the princess of Pharaoh, the daughter of Pharaoh, who took the basket out of the river and said, maybe you know somebody who can help me nurse this baby. And Miriam went back to her mother and said, Mom, I've got great news. The princess found the baby. He's found Moses. He's alive. And she wants you to nurse him for her. And so so that's Miriam, the sister, the oldest sister of Moses. The passage today opens with Miriam passing away. And we didn't read it all, but the passage of scripture of Numbers 20 ends with the death of Moses' brother Aaron. So this is the very last year in the wilderness. And God is fed up with the Israelites complaining, complaining, and complaining. He has fed them every day, every night. Miraculously, he has given them manna from heaven. And now they're starting to complain about the fact that they have this manna. Why can't they go into the promised land? And that's a whole new big story. They couldn't go into the promised land because Moses didn't have enough faith. And now Moses is given instructions by God to go and to speak to the rock, and it will produce the water they need. The first time, Moses was instructed by God to take the staff and to hit the rocks, and the water will come forth. This time, God tells Moses, simply speak to the rocks, and it will come forth. The water will come forth. And Moses got angry, and instead of speaking to the rocks, he strikes the rocks with his staff, and the water comes forth. God provides for his people. He always provided. But at the same time, since Moses didn't follow the instructions of God perfectly, many people believe that's why God tells Moses he's not going to enter the promised land. Because that's what we read today. It says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. Here, 40 years later, almost everyone who left Egypt 40 years earlier has passed. Basically, there will be only two people who left Egypt who will actually go into the promised land. The rest have all died in the wilderness over the period of 40 years. Their children will inherit the land. And that's something for us to remember, that we don't necessarily receive all the blessings of God, because God's promises have been told to us that it will be upon us and our children, our children's children's children. So it goes on for generations. God's blessings to us, and when we earn God's blessings we don't earn any blessings from God. Blessings are a gift from God because he has chosen to be merciful and to forgive our sins. So here we discover that Moses and Aaron's fate is not to enter the promised land. And later in this chapter, Aaron passes, and later we read the death of Moses. And when Moses dies, he's 120 years old, and his eyes were not dim, meaning that he was healthy to the day he died. In fact, the Bible tells us that he was healthy until the day he died at 120 years. And I use that as an illustration of how our bodies are expected to live and survive if we give it the proper nourishment, the proper mental attitudes, et cetera, et cetera. We can live to be 120 years. Biologically, that has been proven true, and the fact that cell regeneration of the human body can only last 120 years. So someone living over 120 years is going to be very, very, very rare, if not impossible. And people living over 100 is very common and is becoming more common all the time. And I expect to live to be into my hundreds, which means I expect to live another 30 years, basically, and 35 years. So for me to retire at this age doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to continue to teach the Bible. I'm going to continue to share this message. I'm going to continue to educate myself and learn more and more, because there is no limit to how much I can learn. Nobody knows everything. But what's important for us to hear in this passage is that Moses received the directions from God and didn't follow the directions. And what happens if you put together a Legos, or you put together a piece of IKEA furniture, and you don't follow the directions? It doesn't end up good. And in this case, it didn't end up good for Moses. And Aaron was complicit with this. They put more emphasis on the staff than they did in the power of God. And that's the lesson that I want you to hear today. As we manage our expectations, what we need to realize is that our expectations are only as good as the leadership that we follow. And the leadership we need to follow isn't the President of the United States, isn't Xi Jinping, isn't any other government on planet Earth. It isn't an institution or a person. The leadership we need to follow is the leadership that we find within this book, or this library known as the Bible. And this is what we need to follow. We need to read, we need to be aware of, and we need to be instructed by these instructions and follow them. And in Exodus and the life of Moses gives us explicit directions on how governance and how justice is supposed to be issued and given. And it is not all of the different things that we see taking place in the world today. What do I mean by that? What I mean by this is that the United States of America was established as a republic, not a democracy, but a republic. And the republic is a representation of the people. So you and I, as citizens of the United States of America, and I'm speaking to American citizens right now, we are the people who govern ourselves. We are responsible for ourselves. We take personal responsibility to govern ourselves under the headship of God. It is the foundation of God, and built upon this foundation that we become the governors of this United States of America. And if you go back and you look at all of the states in the United States of America, without exceptions, their constitutions basically say the same thing, that because this nation was founded upon, we are one nation under God, and all of the state constitutions are the same thing. We need to keep our eyes focused first and foremost on God. We are not a theocracy, which would be the equivalent of Iran, where you have a pope in effect representing God and becoming the dictator. That's not what we are. We are a republic. And as such, we send our representatives into the White House. We send our representatives into the Senate. We send our representatives into the Congress. And that's how we govern the United States of America. And we do that through laws, through the judicial branch of the government. What we are not, and this is important to realize, is that we are not a fascist government. And we are becoming a fascist government. What does that mean? A fascist government is a government that is run by, a fascist government is a government that partners with big business, and it is the big business in conjunction with the government that controls everything. And the United States of America, if we are not careful, will become a fascist government. That's what's called a fascist government because one of the first ones was the government of Hitler. That's how Hitler got all of his power as a government. He started partnering with large corporations and funding those large corporations and taxing the people. So as a result of that, those companies, and this is what's happening in the United States of America today, these companies don't have to succumb to a free market economy. And that is what brings down countries and empires. If a country and an economy is not based upon a free market economy, it needs to be boosted through taxation, and that taxation then eventually will destroy the country. And we are at a point where we are facing some challenges like that. But here we are as the United States of America, a republic. There has been throughout history goals to create instead of using fascism, the more popular term, which has been around for a long time actually, is technocracy. So here is how a look at old technocracy book. This book is entitled Technocracy: Science versus Chaos. And you have to read those words, science versus chaos. And up at the top, it says, science built civilization. Now, this was a very popular thought and concept in the early 30s and the 20s and 30s. And it was, they were moving towards developing not just United States, but basically North America, and bringing down the borders. And this was their goal, to unify the north part of South America, Central America, and all of North America into one country led by the experts. Technocrats, or technocracy is what it's called. And in many ways, the U.S. government is moving in this direction, the technocrat. And again, this is to the construct of the new America. Well, the good news is that did not succeed. The Second World War put an end to that. People saw it as what it is, and that is fascism. And if you want to know how fascism works, you look at the Chinese government and their communist structures. That is a fascist kind of government. And what their technocracy does is they partner with businesses and corporations, and they own basically every significant government business is owned by the government, and as such, they can control anything and everything. So it is control from the top down. And I'm getting a note saying, "Oops." So hopefully, I didn't. Everything's going okay. My connections weren't doing very well. So what we're talking is about government from the top down. If you have government from the top down governance, that is not a biblical form of governance. The biblical form of governance is from the bottom up, where we send representatives to the government and we and the government works for us and not the other way around. And there are people, once people get in power and they feel like they have the power, they don't like to give it up. It's just part of human nature, and it's always been and always will be. But if government owns corporations and businesses, then they can use those businesses and those companies to manage and control populations and people. And that is something that has happened and will continue to be something that we as a nation need to pray about and constantly seek God's instructions and use and put God first, because scientism is the new form of technocracy, which is taking place in the world in the last, and a strong push in the last 3 or 4 years. This strong push of a technocracy. To explain a little bit better, this is a gentleman. His name is Richard Horton. He is the editor-in-chief of the Lancet articles. You're probably familiar, have probably heard of Lancet. Lancet came out with an article in 2020 saying this, offline, the coming technocracy. And this was the article that was published in the Lancet magazine. You can look it up yourself. You can read it. It's December 12, 2020. So the very end of 2020, the Lancet came out with the coming technocracy. Well, what did it say in there? And this, again, is this push. And what the Lancet says in this article is, as the response to the pandemic unfolded, it has become all too clear that the work of scientists has put a powerful constraint on political action. Presidents and prime ministers now fear to step outside the boundaries set by science. Technocracy is replacing democracy. And that is something that we as individuals and people need to be aware of. Because if we're not aware of this, these kind of things can take place in such a way that we cannot understand, and suddenly we wake up and it's too late. We need to be aware of what's going on in our society and in our cultures and the different motivations that people have. And so when we look at the current events that are taking place in the world today, one of the things I mentioned was this was the new technology of Starlink. Starlink is a fantastic corporation and a fantastic means of being able to bring the internet anywhere in the world. It's magnificent. So boats and out at sea, ships out at sea, people out in the deserts can have connectivity and be able to communicate. So we can be anywhere in the world and we don't have to be disconnected from society and from our families and culture. FaceTime has been the most beautiful gift for me and my family. My daughter moved to Miami, my son moved to Salt Lake City. And what they'll do is occasionally they'll just FaceTime me. And I'll sit there and I'll talk with my grandkids and they'll carry the phone around and we'll read books together. And it's absolutely magnificent. I feel like I'm there even though I'm thousands of miles away. It's one step beyond being able to just talk on the phone. I love technology. However, technology needs to be in the hands of people and needs, meaning, in the hands of you and me, and not in the hands of somebody above us who tells us how to use it. That's why what's taking place in social media today and the lack of the freedom of speech is probably one of the most, if not the most important topic that needs to be addressed in our society today. Freedom of speech has to prevail. And if people are concerned about malinformation or bad information, freedom of speech takes care of that. People will talk with one another, and if you have a search that take place on Google, and Google is manipulating that search and not allowing you to have all the different sides of the story, you get one-sided reports, one-sided information, and malinformation or bad information perpetuates. On the other hand, if it's free, and if it's just out there, then you can read 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 different sides of the equation, and you get the whole picture. And as an intelligent individual and person created in the image of God, you have the ability to make decisions on your own. You don't need to be told what to do. And then we can vote as we feel and send the representatives we need into the Congress, into the White House, into the Senate. And we can be a republic, a healthy republic, which is a government from the people up and not from the president, etc., down, which is way this country, the United States of America, is supposed to function and needs to function. However, in the last 20 years, the fourth branch of the government, the administrative branch, has been moving more and more into a technocracy, which wants to take over and tell us how to live. That became very apparent in the last 3 years, just as the Lancet article proclaimed. So there in a Canadian publication took place just recently, and it says, "In science we trust." And what I don't want you to do is to embrace scientism. Scientism is what will destroy this nation, implement technocracy, and bring slavery back to the world in full force, just like they have in China. Here's what it went on to say. And again, this is the Canadian Broadcasting News Agency. And here's what's very fascinating. In this article, it says Joshua Haldeman was a leader in Technocracy Incorporated in Canada from 1936 to 1941. If you recall, we had these, I showed you the pictures of the books earlier, but eventually he became disillusioned, and a lot of that had to do with World War II and with both the organization and the country. And he packed up his young family to start life anew in South Africa in June 1971. Haldeman's daughter, Mauve, gave birth to his first grandson. His name is Elon Musk. So there is a history of technocracy in this country with the goal of experts leading the country. I'm not trying to say anything about Elon Musk. What he has done is amazing. I love what he's doing in Twitter, and I pray that he can keep Twitter free, that his new CEO doesn't go and put all of the restraints on Twitter once again, but allows the information to flow free. If you Google something, in order to, again, Google is a word, which is do a search for a particular topic. You need to, and you don't, what you really need to do is go to DuckDuckGo and do your search there, because you're going to get both sides. Google is altering the information and limiting the knowledge that you will receive. And so my message today is managing our expectations. And the expectations I want to give you are these: that technology is beautiful and good in the hands of good people, and that we as a republic need to maintain our republic by sending the right people into Congress and into the Senate and into the White House. And those people need to be aware of this information, need to be aware that the administration works for us and not the other way around. So the administration, like the CDC, the FDA, the FBI, do not have the power, and they need their power needs to be restrained by our representatives, which means us. And then, and in that way, we keep our democracy, our republic, and our freedom. Here we have it. Moses didn't listen to the voice of God, and God never allowed him to enter the promised land, and he died at the edge. We as a nation need to remember that God is giving us powerful instructions. They're within his Bible. I mean, they've been memorialized forever right here. God created this earth. He knows what we need. Science thinks they know. Science is simply discovering, and it always has and always will, discover what the Bible's already told us. We need to focus on the Bible. We need to keep that as our root and our foundation. And as we remain rooted in the Word of God, our nation has the freedom and the ability to succeed. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have empowered us with an understanding and a realization of who you are. We pray for men like Elon Musk that they will use their power and their ability to create freedom and to empower your people. And so, oh Lord, we pray for our leaders, that they will keep their eyes focused on you, that you'll give us direction, that we will send the right people into our office, that our elections will be fair and honest and real. We pray that you will continue to just guide us in ways that we cannot imagine. And so we know, O Lord, that you're the God who created everything, that you know exactly what's going on. And so help us to follow your directions, because as we do, everything will turn out perfect. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always and forever. Amen. God's blessing you, everybody. I'll see you next week.